locked out of the cockpit on doomed German jet.
He pounded on the door and tried to even smash it down.
Deadly Oklahoma weather.
Everything just went black. I knew that it was like a small tornado.
Army sergeant held by the Taliban charged with desertion.
He's philosophical about this entire controversy.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. A stunning development in the investigation into the crash of a German jetliner in southern France. A French prosecutor says the co-pilot was alone in the cockpit and began the plane's descent manually and intentionally. The pilot was locked out, a detail that first emerged in the New York Times. Information from the Airbus 320's damaged voice recorder. CBS's Mark Phillips.
One of the plane's two pilots left the cockpit and then could not get back in through the locked door. He first knocks lightly on the door, the official says, then knocks harder, apparently trying to smash his way in. The recorder, the source says, shows no further conversation between pilots in the cockpit.
With CBS News aviation analyst Sully Sullenberger joins us now, captain of the Miracle on the Hudson flight. Sully, what's the scenario if a pilot is locked out?
Steve, strong locking systems are in place in the doors, but there are still means for someone who's authorized to have access to the cockpit to gain access to the cockpit in the case of someone in the cockpit being incapacitated. But there is a means for someone within the cockpit to prevent that door from being opened, even in that case.
So what you're saying in a case like this is there's a way for the person outside to get in, but a way for someone who's in the cockpit to prevent that.
Exactly. And obviously, all the risks have been weighed. Multiple scenarios have been looked at as these systems were designed and then these protocols were put in place to take into account all the likely possibilities.
Sully Sullenberger, thanks very much. In Germany, CBS's Vicky Barker has more on the families of the crash victims.
Relatives of some of the 150 who died are traveling to the crash site today, accompanied by grief counselors, to see for themselves the mountaintop where their loved ones lie. Here in Germany, flags are at half staff, and a moment of silence has been held at the school where 16 exchange students and two teachers were lost. To the shock of that loss, the shock of this latest revelation about the flight's final moments. Vicky Barker, CBS News, Düsseldorf, Germany.
And three Americans were among the 150 people who died. Here at home, one person was killed, others injured when fierce weather tore through the Tulsa area late yesterday. CBS's Manuel Bajorquez is in Sand Springs, Oklahoma.
Winds of more than 80 miles per hour pummeled the area.
Big tornado on the ground.
Several people were hurt, some taken to the hospital in critical condition, as drivers stuck on the road were left to the mercy of the storm.
I felt glass breaking.
Firefighters in Tulsa carried out a group of young girls who were in the middle of a gymnastics class as one tornado hit.
It was loud and everybody was just screaming and crying.
And thousands in the state are now without electricity. Bo Bergdahl, the U.S. Army sergeant held for 5 years by the Taliban, now faces desertion and other charges and the possibility of life in prison.
Life imprisonment would be the best thing. Anything less than that, and I feel like it would be cheating.
Sergeant Josh Corder served with Bergdahl in Afghanistan. Bergdahl mysteriously left his unit in 2009 before he was captured. Last year, the Obama administration traded five Taliban prisoners for him. Pentagon correspondent David Martin.
Officials say Bergdahl, who cooperated with the Army's investigation, will probably need psychiatric care for the rest of his life. That would appear to set the stage for a plea deal which would spare the Army the spectacle of a court-martial in return for a lighter sentence.
U.S. jets are now bombing ISIS targets into Crete, a city Iraqi forces thought they could take back quickly earlier this month. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
One of the targets was a sprawling complex of palaces where ISIS militants had been holed up. Some of these buildings were used to store their weapons. The U.S.-led coalition now says its airstrikes and overhead surveillance are in direct support of the Iraqi operation, in which Iranian-backed militias were also fighting. Their operation had stalled.
Saudi Arabia has begun airstrikes in Yemen, targeting Shiite rebels who've driven the president out of the country. One strike hit a target in the capital, Sana'a. Saudi Arabia has deployed 100 fighter jets and 150,000 soldiers in the new offensive. The House is set to vote today on a rare bipartisan agreement to do away with payment cuts to doctors who see Medicare patients. Here's CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
Reforms enacted in 1997 were meant to curb the growth of Medicare and save taxpayers billions. But Congress has instead passed 17 doc fix bills to avoid automatic cuts. Dr. Robert Waugh, president of the American Medical Association, calls the 1997 formula a tumor inside the federal budget.
As a surgeon, I believe it's time to cut that tumor out and deal with it honestly and quickly.
Under the bipartisan deal in the House, wealthier seniors would see their Medicare premiums go up, but most of the $200 billion cost would be added to the deficit. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
This morning, former Illinois Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. was released from an Alabama prison. He served a year and a half for spending $750,000 in campaign funds on himself and his family. Jackson will serve the rest of his time at a Washington, D.C. halfway house. In Hudson, Florida, police say an argument over food got out of hand and a 13-year-old boy shot his two brothers. A 6-year-old died. A 16-year-old was wounded.
This is a nightmare when you hear about the ages of these boys.
Well, Sheriff Chris Nocco says the 13-year-old shooter turned the gun on himself to take his own life. They all lived with their mother, who was at work when it happened. In southern Indiana, health officials have confirmed 72 cases of HIV, an outbreak linked to intravenous drug use. Governor Mike Pence, who opposes needle exchange programs as part of drug control policy, says he's now reconsidering that. In this case, he'll announce new steps today.
My initial declaration of a public health emergency will be for a period of 30 days and will extend exclusively to Scott County.
And Governor Pence is expected to sign a religious objections bill into law today. Opponents say it would essentially allow Indiana businesses and some organizations to discriminate against gay people. Similar bills being considered in about a dozen other states. The odds-on favorite to win it all is in action tonight as the men's college basketball tournament resumes.
So far, they have been perfect.
Kentucky up double digits.
Tonight, the Kentucky Wildcats put their undefeated record on the line. Kentucky takes on West Virginia in a Sweet 16 matchup. The Wildcats are going for their 37th straight win. If Kentucky does win, the Wildcats will take on the winner of the Notre Dame-Wichita State matchup for a chance to go to the Final Four. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
And two other top seeds are still left in the tournament, Duke and Wisconsin. A Japanese pro baseball team has been ordered by a judge to pay a woman $350,000. In 2010, she was hit in the face with a foul ball and lost sight in her right eye. The team, the Nippon Ham Fighters, is considering an appeal. They contend there are announced warnings about foul balls and protective netting around much of the field of play. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.